The Houston campus is an extraordinary situation. This year we will have this spring we had 230 students at Houston, and it's had a compounded annual growth rate of about 12%, and so it's just remarkable what they've accomplished in Houston. And it's due to Dr. Fong and his great team down there. So Bruce Fong is Dean of DTS Houston and a professor of pastoral ministries. He graduated from Western Baptist College with a B.S. in Bible, earned his THM from DTS, and received his Ph.D. in practical theology from the University of Aberdeen. Dr. Fong is committed to teaching God's Word, as he says, to anyone and everyone who will lend him an ear. And he is excited to minister and train the next generation of Christian leaders on the Houston campus. Dr. Fong has served as a lead pastor at Sunset Church in San Francisco. He has an extensive background in Christian ministries, which has not only included pastoring churches, but also speaking for Promise Keepers, Iron Sharpens Iron, Family Life, and serving for 10 years as president of Michigan Theological Seminary. In a few weeks, Dr. Fong and his wife, Yvonne, will celebrate 36 years of marriage. They are the proud parents of three adult children, Kristen, Justin, and Jeremy. Dr. Fong enjoys spending time in the outdoors, bicycling, fishing, hunting, and motorcycle riding, Chuck. But most of all, he enjoys spending time with his family. Please join me in welcoming Bruce Fong.
My personal testimony is a lot like Flip Wilson's philosophy of life. He says that if I had to live my entire life over again, I just don't think I'd have the energy. One of my big thrills is to look at my testimony and realize that I have a Timothy testimony, for it was my grandmother who was a very instrumental part in my salvation experience. And she went to a church that was started by a man named Frank Fung, who was a Multnomah graduate. He was an engineer from UC Berkeley, deeply burdened for the Chinese immigrants who were coming into the Sacramento Valley and not having a gospel testimony and witness to them. So he went around and shared the gospel of Jesus Christ and led many people to Christ and gathered them together in a very dilapidated old building. And one of the beneficiaries of his evangelistic effort was my grandmother. And my grandmother was the matriarch of our family. As soon as she began to speak, most of the men got up and left, so they didn't have to hear the orders, so they didn't have to obey. But all of us grandchildren were left, and she directed all of us to go to church. And that's where I heard the good news of Jesus Christ. So I accepted Christ when I was very young, about 8 years old. And our church, even though it was outstanding in an evangelistic effort, it was not very good at discipleship. So we had a massive turnover. So that massive turnover occurred during our adolescent years. And a lot of the challenges that I had was not only the adolescent absence of my parents, who were both working, but also what I describe as a very disadvantaged childhood growing up because I had an older sister. And my older sister was one of those types who was so bright that her goal was to be one of the top biologists in the state of California. And whenever she took a state biology test, she always wanted to score in the top 5 percentile or better. She never actually had to live up to that goal because she always scored in the top 3 percentile or better. So she became one of the highest-ranking female biologists in the state of California in all matters with regard to ecology. The governor would always call her in for her counsel. So she was a tree hugger from the very beginning, and whenever I contested that, of course, she always said, "I always knew that you were adopted, Bruce. You cannot be blood with me." But my sister was not only incredibly bright, but also my older brother, who was a year older than me, he was incredibly bright. He's the kind of guy who could lie on his bed and read a physics book and understand it by reading it one time. And I would sit at my desk with perfect posture and perfect lighting, read a physics book and realize it was upside down. And, I grew up going to every new grade school class, and the teacher would say, "Oh, you're Bellary and Vernon's brother. I'm expecting a lot out of you." And I would say, "Never heard of them. I think they must be from a different family." I don't know what happened when God passed out the brains. I think my sister and brother took my share. And I just did not do well in school. And I was ashamed of my family participation because my brother and sister always got all the awards, and academically I was sort of just an also-ran. I can never figure out life until I remembered what happened when I was a youngster and I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And a good friend in high school invited me to come back to church to go to a youth group. And I went to that youth group and I thought to myself, there's something different about all these people. What is it? I mean, it's like they really enjoy having me there instead of all the politics and the athletics and all the other things I was involved in the school, was they only liked you there in order to get something out of you. And that made a huge impact on me, and I kept going back to the youth group and trying to figure out why they were so different. And it was because of the love of Jesus Christ that they had as people also who shared in that amazing miracle of being born again. But because I was gone so long just trying to figure my way out and go through life and try to find my identity, I was way behind in all of my spiritual appetites. So I remember this tremendous hunger that just dominated my life. I wanted to know everything about the Bible and could never get enough people to sit down long enough to give me answers. So I went off to Bible college to try to figure out what in the world was this whole thing about my faith. And that curiosity drove me to a school where God then captured my spirit, and every weekend we were required to go off for Christian service. And I joined a team because I was the only one that was left that had some room on it. It was called the preaching team. I had never preached a sermon in my entire life, but I had to do my requirement, and they had room. And so they said, you've been here for 3 weeks. You preach the next sermon. And we would go off to these little tiny churches in the country, maybe 30 to 50 people who didn't have a pastor. And I would just teach what I was taught in the class the week before, and people would listen. They didn't throw me out. They would actually listen. And I became so burdened. If these people are listening to this young college kid who hardly knows anything about the Bible except what I learned last week, God, there must be something you want to do with all this. And it's like God was saying, "You hearing yourself? You hearing yourself?" So I did something really weird. After I graduated from Bible college, I accepted a position as a summer intern at a church in the state of Washington in a county called Whatcom County, at a little church called Nooksack Valley Baptist Church. It had about 253 people in the church, and the town of Everson that it was in only had a population of 152 because it drew a lot of people from the community in. And I thought, well, they don't know me up there. And it'd be amazing if after a summer, God could use this group of people to say, "Bruce, we think that you're set apart for ministry." And that to me was something I was really looking for. Growing up with so little affirmation, doing so poorly academically, wondering about what in the world I could do to contribute into life when my brother and sister were so amazingly successful. That was a very key time in my life. And we had such a great time that the 3-month internship turned into a year and a half before I came to Dallas Seminary. So when I came to Dallas Seminary, I was convinced, totally convinced, that God had set me apart for ministry, and just absolutely absorbed everything that I was being taught here in this amazing campus. God gave us the privilege, my wife and me, to discover each other down at Mount Hermon Christian Conference Center in Santa Cruz. And it's one of the reasons why I think it's one of the most romantic Christian places ever, because that's where we met. And I pursued her there, and God just gave us a great, great opportunity to enjoy each other's company over a long distance while I was a student here in Dallas. And he made it possible for us to get married before my last year. And she joined me for my last year and just had an absolute ball going away from her family and the environment. She had never been out of the state of California before she and I moved here to Dallas together as husband and wife. And we just had a great, great experience. So God took us from Dallas Seminary, and we pastored a church in Portland, Oregon for 10 years. Absolutely loved it. Have some scars, but more than scars, we have amazing, amazing memories and great friendships that have continued over the decades. And from there, God gave us the privilege to join the faculty of Multnomah Seminary in Portland and had the chance to thoroughly learn to enjoy teaching homiletics, preaching and getting students excited and fired up about opening up the Word of God and making it clear to the lives of people to whomever God gave him a chance to speak to. From there, I was able to go to Michigan and serve as the president of Michigan Theological Seminary for a decade. And I saw a pattern. It was 10 years pastoring, 10 years professor, 10 years president. And so when we finished up in Michigan, God brought us to San Francisco. Thought we were going to be there for 10 years. And we were there and having a great time and minding our own business. And then Dr. Bailey called and disrupted all of God's plans. I mean, he and I, we would get together every once in a while. It wasn't unusual to have a meal with him when we were in each other's towns, so I wasn't expecting anything. But when he shared the vision of how Dallas has been growing and some of its extension sites were being blessed by the Lord, he described Houston. And I thought to myself, the things he's saying, Lord, are just resonating in my spirit. A growing school related to Dallas Seminary, very, very diverse ethnically, and an amazing place to live when you've been living in the very liberal environment of San Francisco. Just the idea of what it would be like to live back in Texas again was amazing. So I prayed about it for all the way home because I knew when I told Yvonne what the conversation was about, I knew what her answer was going to be. You see, when we graduated from Dallas Seminary in 1978, a church wanted us to come to Houston. I said, "So honey, what do you think?" And she says, "I don't want to live in Houston." I said, "Okay, end of story." So we moved to Portland. So I knew that when I went to her again, say, "What do you think about Houston?" She said the same thing. "I told you before, I don't want to live in Houston." And she was so cute. I says, "Okay, end of story." And then for about 2 months, God just worked on her. I didn't say a thing. God just worked on her. And finally, I could tell she was frustrated about something. I said, "Honey, you okay?" "No, I'm not okay." "So what's wrong?" "Well, Houston." I said, "I haven't brought it up." She says, "I know." And I says, "Just tell me this, sweetheart. Is it Dallas Seminary or is it Houston, Texas?" She says, "Oh, I think it'd be a great honor to be a part of Dallas Seminary." And all of a sudden she looked at me and started laughing. She says, "I think the Lord is making it clear what he wants us to do." And because of what God did in her spirit over 30 years, getting her ready to go to Houston. I never said a thing. It's just a great joy to see her realize what God is doing as he moves us there. So we're delighted, and I think that one of my greatest desires is to serve the Lord by working as hard as I can. And for all of you who are here on the board, I just want you to know that all of us down in Houston, we love this man. Mark Bailey, we love him, and we respect him, and wherever he leads us, we will follow. And I've told our team, if he goes in the battle, I'm going to be there with him. I'm going to watch his back. And the gift that we have in this man is just amazing. I'm always taking out a piece of paper and writing down stuff when he's teaching. And his insights in the Word of God are absolutely stunning. And I want to thank all of you who are here and serve on the board. It is I know, one of the highest paid jobs you've ever had. But thank you so much for the way you cheer on DTS. It's just an honor to be partners with you in his service. Thank you very much.